coming to you live this morning from the Mushroom Kingdom, WKBAG Studios, Wario K, Rule, Bowser, and Dress Gannon. This is Video Games and Comedy Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Schmidt, and today we've gotten the exclusive in with Illumination to pitch on the new upcoming Super Mario Brothers movie sequel. Folks, this is huge for Video Games and Comedy Show. We've never had anything like this happen to us before, but I guess they were taking a listen to our comedy and they thought these guys would be great to kind of come up with the story, come up with the beats, come up with the jokes for the new Mario Brothers movie. They were very apologetic about the last movie. They were like, we're sorry, we didn't know about you guys beforehand, or we would have got you to do that one. I have a pitch machine, writing general, a general in the pen to paper army, I call this Jacques Maladou, he's on the show.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Happens to my sound effects and I just can't have. Okay, hold on one second.
Now we can devour gods together.
That's your sound effect for 2024. Could you even hear it?
Yes, it sounded great.
Great. Okay, I'm glad it came through. What do you think? Did I do
I love
okay?
It. Yeah.
Little Frere Jacques with Rykard from Elden Ring. Buddy, you haven't been on the show since the year of our Lord 2024. I haven't talked to you at all about that Elden Ring news.
I know. I'm so excited. I actually was like in the middle of a new playthrough that I had started a couple weeks before.
I'm
currently in Caelid, but I'm so excited. I feel like it's just going to be the next Souls game.
Dude, I know. Yeah, I bet you. Yeah, it seems like it's going to be huge. It's going to have all of the bells and whistles that usually come in these FromSoft DLCs, and maybe even more.
I know. I can't wait. It's gonna be so hard. I'm kind of worried about, but it's gonna be like, I'm worried in like a titillated, excited way, I should say. But it's gonna be sick. You can't make a DLC that's not. I mean, they're charging $40 or whatever. It's gonna be. I'm sure it's gonna be like a 60-hour game.
Oh, yeah. I guess we can just get into what we've been playing. I'm up to my neck in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth right now. It is one of the best games I've ever played. I'm now like in that zone where I'm just like, at first I was like, you know, I didn't want my heart to get broken. I approached it very cautiously, like, I don't know about that, or, oh, this is cool, but we'll see if they can keep it up, you know?
Uh-huh. You didn't want to rush into something and get too excited, only to be devastated. It makes sense.
Exactly. And just like with relationships, when you get about 40 hours in, you really feel like you know.
Dude, pop the question.
Yeah, but it's great. But I'm excited. Like, I know Elden Ring is on the horizon, and I am also looking forward to a replay where I'm gonna do a full mage class character, magic user.
Dude, it's so silly because I did the entire last playthrough as a mage,
mm-hmm.
and this time I was like, I'm gonna do swords.
Yes,
and I was like, I was doing swords for like 3 hours, and I was like, I want to be a mage again. And I literally switched back. I'm like, what am I doing?
But I'll
tell you what I'm doing is I'm loving it.
Yeah. I mean, once you find a rhythm that you just like love, and I have a feeling I'm going to have a hard time switching over to mage because my last character was, you know, whatever he was. He was like, I think he was like a fire. I can't remember now all the classes, but like he used fire a lot. Blood. He was a blood fire man.
Yeah, I think those are the right words.
Faith build. Sorry, it was a faith build. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
yeah. That was what I was curious about dabbling into, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You liked it?
Oh, well, I found that sword you get, the blood sword, where you shoot like fire out of the ground, and anything it touches, it heals you. I don't know if you mess around with this sword before, but it's like the snake sword you get from Rykard. So it's like.
Oh, cool.
People who have never played the game are like, what the fuck? I guess it just sounds like regular video game talk. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You get the snake sword.
Yeah.
Fire, blood, heal.
Oh man, yeah, but it was great. I loved it. I'm kind of curious if I can take my original character into the DLC, even though I've beat the Elden Beast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like they've told us nothing about how it's going to work. And yeah. I wonder if it's just going to be super cryptic. It's like you have to find this one hut in the middle of Caelid. Mm, and if you enter there, you could join the DLC.
Yeah. I have no idea. It'll. But I'm going to start another character just in case because I want to,
I want to. Of course.
Yeah. They did mention, Miyazaki did mention where you would enter the DLC. We know that.
Oh, he did.
It's in the egg where
where
what's his name is the
yes
arm guy, the guy with the arm
yeah
the guy with cool. the arm
yeah say no more
yes oh man there's not a lot coming out this year either not that I know of so it's exciting to get more Elden Ring
totally yeah
dude what else you been playing huh
dude I'm on that Balatro tip. It's okay. Sweeping the nation.
Yes, I've heard about this. Tell us everything, because the show so far has not heard one tale of this game.
Yeah, it's a roguelike deck builder based on poker hands. So it's like your turn is you'll draw 9 cards, and you can play the classic poker hands, like straights, flushes, royal flushes, pairs. But throughout the game, you get points, and you can upgrade your cards, and you can upgrade your 8 to be like, ooh, you get 4 times the points with this card. You can upgrade flushes. You get a joker that makes it where you only need 4 cards of a suit to be a flush. You get like, ooh. You're just constantly getting these weird variables where it like starts as poker, then it just like completely is just like a video game that's like a deck builder.
Whoa. I'm curious as somebody who's also like, I keep having to relearn the rules of poker. You know, would this game help me with that?
Yes, it's a learning device. Yeah, it's a learning device. It's supposed to help people get into gambling.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm always going to Vegas. You know this. Yeah. About me. I'm always going. Yeah. And I'm always ponying up to the table. And I'm having to ask the people in Hawaiian shirts around me, like, what are the rules again? How much should I? I'm always asking them, how much should I bet?
And also, where's the Usher show? yeah, that's what this game is doing to people. It's it's really fun though. The download is 76 megabytes.
That's great.
It's just funny when you're like, I'm gonna download this game and then it's done.
Yeah. Fits on Palm Pilots across the nation.
Yeah. It's super fun, it's super addictive. The only thing I just hit a hitch, which is that like you can up the difficulty and it just became a lot less fun. You know, where I was like, but do I just play the same difficulty where I'm gonna win more often? You know, but it's like I feel like Slay the Spire does a good job of the difficulty not like hurting the enjoyment of the mechanics. If that makes sense.
It totally does. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out like I mean it's sort of a mystery to me like why certain difficulty spikes are great in games or feel really nice. And then sometimes it just feels like you're hitting a wall and you hate it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this sucks now.
Yeah, it just is not fun. It's like this weird thing that game designers have to get so right, which is
so
like
right.
You got to feel powerful, but you can't just trounce this enemy, you know?
Yeah. I think in this case, the problem is that like you buy upgrades based on how well you do. Mm. And the first difficulty upgrade gives you less money to buy things. So you just like, you don't get to upgrade as much, which I think is like the most fun part of roguelikes.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe maybe I'm just bad. could just be that. So
it's fully possible, you know.
Yeah. It's really fun though.
That sounds great. I definitely feel like I want to check that out. Where are you playing it? Like is it on Game Pass? Tell me it is.
It's not on Game Pass yet.
Frick!
It sold like 500,000 copies its first week. Which is like crazy for a game that was like I think only a few people worked on and like, you know, it just had a big early access buzz. Our roguelikes was going crazy for it for months. I got it like 3 days before the release. So I was like, yeah, I'm playing it in early access. Yeah, it's fun.
I remember the day too, that our roguelikes changed from a Rogue from X-Men appreciation page to...
Yeah. There's still a few of those people hanging around.
Yeah, every 25 posts, you get one that's just like, I still like her, you know?
Yeah. In the middle of a post about, like, Slay the Spire or Hades.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're reporting. Yeah. They're like, I just reported every single post in this thread.
Rogue. Yeah. This used to be all about Rogue likes. I likes Rogue, okay?
And I like weird grammar. I've always liked weird grammar.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is freaking, it's just great. It's so well done. It's so well crafted. It feels so good to play. They've seemingly thought of everything. They've really like shed a lot of like typical video game baggage that you usually have to go through, and just like really zeroed in on like what is going to be the most fun in every single moment of the game.
That's awesome.
And it really changes depending on what you're doing. Like, you know, I did a whole. An example is like I did a whole like I did like 3 hours of like battling and getting through this like ship sequence where I was on a boat, and then I like got to a beach, and then the next couple hours was just like picking my bathing suits for my friends. So it's just like it's got a lot of it's dynamic in terms of like what you're gonna be doing and how much fun you're gonna be having. There's a lot of mini games. There's a card game in this that's incredible. Called Queen's Blood.
I was going to ask, actually, because one of the things I really remember from the midsection of Final Fantasy VII is the chocobo races.
Yes.
And when I was a kid, I thought that was like the coolest thing in the world, that there was like, there's a game within the game, and I could just do this forever, it seemed.
Totally.
And so like hearing that there's like even, there's more mini games, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's more mini-games sort of throughout. And then, like, I did get to the Gold Saucer where you do race those chocobos. And they've turned that whole thing into basically like a Mario Kart clone inside of the game.
That's so wild.
So, and it just feel and then, like, and like on the PS1, that section was cool, but felt like kind of hard and encumbered to, like, race the chocobos. And this is just like... You got like a sliding move so you can get like dashes. It's just a Mario Kart clone. But
that's
it like
awesome.
It just like it's like plopped right in there. And it's like, you know, a beautiful like 10 stages. Like not like it's not like you're gonna be doing that forever, but you know.
That's pretty
it's
good,
great.
Though.
Yeah, I know. That was one thing that surprised me is like not only are the mini games still good and fun, but they're like pretty substantial. Like this card game is like it's like a whole other game where you're collecting cards and throughout the world you're like fighting bosses and getting like, I just got Sephiroth's card and I'm just like, oh, yes, my precious Sephiroth card, my rare card.
That's awesome. I love it when games like the like clearly like fun, tons of fun ideas went into it. You can like almost feel the developers like,
yeah.
You know how it's like annoying when you hear about movies being made and they're like, the actors were having so much fun.
Yeah.
They were
having
so fun. I feel like it's different with games where it's like, it comes through in the gameplay that you're like, oh, people had lots of good ideas and they were said yes to lots of fun things. And
totally. Like,
it's such a good feeling.
It's a great, yeah, it's really great. And like, I'll say this, I would have loved this game if it was half as good and half as long. But it's like, it's just, it exceeded my expectations in a way that I just can't get enough of that stuff, and it is very long. So here
it's like
I
an
am
Elden Ring DLC or what is it?
It's like it's like I think it's like 1.5 Elden Ring DLCs.
Wow.
It seems like the length of it. Like I'm like 50 hours in right now and I feel like I'm like halfway through it, and I am engaging with a lot of the stuff. I'm doing such a, you know, intense playthrough of it that you don't really have to do. I'm assuming. But that's been it. Yeah, I haven't been a one game guy in a while.
It's fun, I bet.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. I know exactly when I get home, you know, from a long day, you know, wheeling and dealing. I know exactly what I'm
on the trading floor. You get back from the trading floor,
On my corded phone.
Yeah.
I'm dragging it around the office, you know? Yeah. Yeah, anyways, okay, well, what do you say we get into the news?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we have some brand new games that just came out, that just hit the market.
Oh, great.
Starting from, all the way back to March 14th, if you can believe it. We have High Water came out to all modern consoles, including PS4 and Xbox One and PC. High Water, famously a sequel to Low Water. Jacques, I believe you were telling me about High Water, right?
Yes. It's set in New Orleans, and it's a real simulator of, like, are the levees going to hold?
Yeah.
And I'll spoil it for you. They don't always.
They don't hold. They don't hold. Yeah.
No, they don't hold. It's it's really fun. And there's also weed involved, obviously. So.
Of course. Yeah. Now, speaking of weed, Lawn Mowing Simulator came out.
Yeah, there you go.
To the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Well, how boring are the simulators going to get? I just want to know, like, how much it's like. Because the thing is, I don't know about you and lawn mowing, but, like, I don't associate it with being, like, that satisfying. I associate it with, like, tedious chore I had to do as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Like, a power washing simulator makes more sense than a lawn mowing simulator.
Because power washing it, like, it feels like magic when you're using it. You're like, wow, I can't believe this works so well.
Yeah.
But lawn mowing, I'm just like, I just associate it with being, like, hot.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the smell. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely we had a big acre. We grew up on, like, an acre out in Texas, and we had, like, a riding lawnmower. Mm. And the method you would do is you would just do circles, and you could kind of see where you had gone before because of the circles. And it was still hot and still miserable.
Yeah.
So doing a riding lawnmower was cool.
Yeah.
Like, three times, and then you're like, I don't want to do this no more.
For sure.
Lawn mowing simulator on Nintendo Switch. I heard the DLC is you get downgraded to a push mower. Terrible.
Wow.
Star Wars' Battlefront Classics Collection.
Finally.
Huge. Huge for us.
Yeah.
Battlefront Collection. Now, I never played these games growing up. I wasn't into the Battlefront games.
Yeah, that are those the ones that are just like a first person shooter, or is it?
I think so.
Yeah. I saw an article that was like, here's the reason why Star Wars Battlefront needs a remaster. And I was like, that doesn't seem true, and just kept scrolling. So I don't have anything to say about that, but I was like, I don't know about that. I just kept going.
Yeah. What the Golf came out.
It's supposed to be fun.
I've heard of What the Golf. Kingdom Come Deliverance Royal Edition. Kingdom Come Deliverance Royal Edition. That sounds like a game. It definitely sounds like a game.
Yes, 1,000,000%. All of those words have been all over video games.
Genre, role-playing. Yeah. Are you hooked?
Oh, for sure. I hope you get to play as a young prince.
Yes, yes. Who's perhaps, you know, sort of bucking up against the edges of his own royalty and own family. You know, maybe he's wants to see what else is out in the world.
Right. And then I'm guessing that some sort of, like, evil warlock seizes the power while he's off on his own. And he's got to go right back where he started, but only after he gets stronger.
Yes, yes. After a good amount of time, leveling up.
Yes.
Outcast, A New Beginning.
Damn, they're getting the band back together.
Yeah, the Outcast folks are getting the band back together.
Yeah, Andre's putting the flute down, gonna start rapping. Love it. They're changing the K to a C, I'm assuming, in the title. Cool.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And this is kind of a strange one I saw on here, but Hades, classic, a true classic, coming to iOS. How do you think that would go?
I wonder with some of these, like, are they just meant if you use like a controller or one of those controller adapters, like, because that's just going to be terrible with touch controls. There's no world. Like, but people say they play Dead Cells on their phone.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Hades is 3D. I don't know.
I'm doing an impression of a guy playing Hades on their phone.
Yeah.
So he was looking really uncomfortable. He was kind of flailing.
He was putting distance between his hands and the screen.
Yeah. I was slapping it with my whole palm.
And then he was also saying, it's really hot in here. Ooh, yeah. It's so hot.
Jacques, are you ready for Persona 6?
Is that coming?
Yeah, it's like reportedly being planned, but for Xbox consoles.
Interesting. I have a Series S.
Yeah.
I was thinking about selling it.
Oh,
because you can play Game Pass on Steam Deck streaming so well.
Yeah.
That I was just like, do I need this system?
It's a very good question.
But yeah, that's interesting about Persona. There hasn't really been an Xbox game I've been super stoked about. Like I occasionally play Forza, which I love.
Oh,
but
beautiful.
Yeah, it's just so
gorgeous.
Talk about a game that also is just like rich with fun.
Yeah.
Like I'll just never see the end of it.
Whipping, my hair's whipping in the wind as I'm just flying down the streets of Mexico.
Yeah.
Are you playing like the fifth Forza Horizon? Is that the one you're playing?
Yeah.
That one's great.
It just like the ugliest sports car you've ever seen that has incredible handling. Just like the worst looking thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fun I think of those games is not getting like the Lambos.
Yeah.
But you get like a Dodge Neon. You like make it like an incredible S-Class racing car.
Yeah. It's so true though. Like I'm just like amazed by how ugly some cars are. And, like,
oh yeah.
Especially it's like how cool cars were in the 50s and 60s. And it's like I know the curves are for aerodynamics and that's why we don't have the cool boxy designs, but like cars are just so ugly now. I'm like
Dream
it's
car.
A shame.
Go. What's your dream car?
I don't even I just like those like 50s Corvettes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a specific year, but
that's
I just like
good.
Love that sort of like convertible, very crazy taxi feeling. But yeah.
Yeah. What Mine would be probably the PT Cruiser.
Sure.
But one wheel's missing.
Okay. Gotcha. I feel like if you're going fast enough, that won't matter. But if you slow down for even a second, you're just going to tip.
Yeah. We were in the car the other day and I was asking Jackie what her favorite car was and she was telling me about she was just telling me that she thought PT Cruisers were so ugly and I was like I never thought about it before. She's like yeah, they're like punchline cars. It's, you know, it's like
yeah.
What about the Honda Element? are you a fan of the Honda Element?
That's like the SUV that you would go like camping with, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think my old roommate had one. Yeah.
I asked another comedian when I was writing a sketch. I was like, give me a funny car. I need like a funny car specific. And he said Honda Element. And I did laugh, so.
Yeah, okay, great.
Let's see here. Anything else?
I would have said Kia Sorento.
Kia Sorento?
That would have been mine.
Yeah. What's the Kia Soul?
Yeah,
I like the Kia Soul. I always I remember when my friend got one, we would say, if I die before I wake, pray my Kia Soul to take. And we thought that was fucking so funny, dude.
Yeah, I mean that's good shit.
Hey, I wouldn't mind playing this Dragon's Dogma game. This Dragon's Dogma 2 game looks pretty nice. That Capcom.
Yeah, it looks cool. That's one I've like. I think I'm gonna wait for a sale, but I agree. Yeah. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that. That first one was like a cult classic, and I never checked it out.
Me neither. But it like it's one I ignored, and then like it just keeps coming up on posts and lists and such. Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah.
I hate being a Johnny come lately, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Anything else you're excited about? Anything else you're looking forward to?
Nah, I think we kind of covered it. I mean, that Elden Ring DLC is the one thing on the horizon I'm pumped for. I truly am just like searching for Silk Song every single time there's any news of anything. Like, I'm one of those awful people who's like hounding every sort of event. Like, I replayed Hollow Knight a few months ago.
You did?
It's just like, it's like my favorite, man. I just think it's like, it combines so many things I like. I like, it's so, I still haven't beaten the third difficulty of the Colosseum, but after like 7 hours of trying, I was like, I have to move on with my life. Like,
I think I beat all like that stuff. I didn't beat the challenge stuff in the DLCs.
Yeah.
It's just so hard.
It just becomes like, not super fun, but that game is, I fucking love it so much.
I really miss hearing that music, that sort of like kind of dour score that's going on through it.
I on my replay, I had turned the sound off apparently, like the previous time I'd played, so I didn't have the music on for the first, not the sound off, I turned the music off. So the first 10 hours, I was like, wow, this is really avant-garde for them to not have music in this game. I don't even remember this. And then I like went and turned it on and I was like, oh, okay, cool. There it is.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Balatro is in the news though a lot. People are loving this Balatro game.
Yeah, it's just one of those really fun, you lose and have to play again situations. It's great.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to check this out, I think. That and Helldivers 2. People are telling me this Helldivers 2 game is so fun and so fun to play with friends. Have you checked this out yet?
No, I in another group thread, I like confirmed that I would buy it though because they were hounding me about it.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get it.
Yeah.
I haven't played a game with like friends online in forever. I think I played Fortnite once with a couple people, but it's literally been like years since I've done it.
Yeah, I mean we've played together a couple of times. We played like Diablo.
Oh, that's right. And we did Turtles.
We did Turtles, which was fun.
That was really fun.
Mikey's usually involved if it's I'm playing a game online.
Absolutely.
And it's and he's always so much better than me.
Yeah, he's really good at video games.
Yeah. Guys in there doing push-ups all the time, and I'm over here eating bonbons.
I remember we played Diablo, and he was just, like, so much better than us.
Yeah.
Just, like, we were like, yay, we're leveling up more because Mikey's here.
Yeah.
Like, Mikey, Diablo's fight great. Them. Fight them, Mikey.
Can you fight them, please? We're all mad. Mikey, do better.
Yeah,
we're
Mikey.
Standing.
Yeah. Arms crossed expression.
Yeah. okay, well, let's get out of the news. Let's close that news bag. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to share with you exclusive audio on our pitch to Illumination and Nintendo for their brand new and upcoming Super Mario Brothers, the sequel movie. The Super Mario Brothers, the movie sequel. So stay tuned.
This is huge.
This is big. Stay tuned for that, folks. Welcome back to Video Games and Comedy Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Schmidt. And today, Jacques and I are going to share with you our exclusive pitch meeting that we had with Illumination, for which they've decided to take... And this was what was crazy, Jacques. I mean, just to kind of decompress on this a little bit, they took every single one of our pitches.
I know. It's so nuts. Like, some of these were, like, really left field, and I couldn't believe they went with it.
Some of our pitches ended up contradicting themselves, and we kind of would, like, walk certain ones back and then do more. And then they just took them all, though. They took every single one.
I know. And I was pitching, personally, like, a lot of, like, Shane Gillis, like, edgy sort of, like... You know, pushing the envelope comedy, and they were like, "We love this for our kids' movie."
We love Shane. Well, Shane Gillis is for the parents. They kept saying,
"Yeah,
Shane Gillis is for the parents."
Yeah, you know who we gave nothing for the parents last time. If you were over 7, you didn't like it. This time, we're gonna really lead into that.
Yeah. It was a lot of, and it was a lot, and I do remember that you were pitching just a lot of comedians. From Shane Gillis's sort of like crew to like come in and be voices. So we're going to hear all of that stuff here coming up. Yeah. And so I guess I can just roll the tape, right? Let me just hold on. Let me roll the tape here. Let's see here. We gotta do this. Yeah, okay, and I'm rolling the tape here, and all right, guys, thanks so much for having us. Jacques and I are so excited to be here again. You know how you have the Mario Brothers, where we're kind of like the Pitching Brothers.
The Pitching Brothers, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Pause. And
yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Again, we're exploding with ideas right now. We're nothing but ideas, truly. And I think you're gonna like what you're gonna hear.
I think you're gonna like it.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I'll sort of set the table here. Mario's just gotten done with his last adventure.
Mm-hmm.
He's beaten Bowser. He's more become friends with Princess Peach.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with a friendship here, which we like. Jacques and I are okay with that. We don't mind.
We love
that.
It.
Yeah, friendship is good. And it's kind of like what's next for Mario, right? So I mean my first pitch is that when lights up, you know, we see the Illumination logo, we got the Minions in there. Mm-hmm. Lights up, Mario's super famous now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
He's got his shirt off. He's by the pool.
Yeah.
His own pool. And it's shaped like a giant star.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm acting like I haven't heard this before, but I'm blown away by the
ultimate
pitch.
Yes man, Jacques yes. Maladou in the house.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's shirtless. His friend Peach is actually wearing tons of clothes, because that's the direction we think we should go in.
Yeah,
she's
in
wearing
a diving bell. She's about to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's exactly. in a diving bell. She's about to go underwater exploring.
Yes. And in the background, you see the Hollywood sign, because Mario is so successful and he's moved from New York and now he lives in Hollywood.
Yeah. And it does now say Mario's Wood. As opposed to Hollywood, because he's so big now, they've changed the whole city to reflect Mario.
Exactly, yeah.
And Luigi's there, and he's in sort of like an all-white suit, sort of giving Al Pacino Scarface, you know?
Yes, yes. He's like, he's trying to be cool. He's trying to be Miami. He's trying to be like Pitbull, sort of like,
yes,
like all killing it. Yeah. But he's as foolish as ever.
Yeah, yeah. He's on his cell phone and he's going, "Yeah, bring in the diamonds next weekend, and don't bring any ghosts. Don't bring any booze with you."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. He's like, "Cause they scare me.
They scare me.
Yeah,
yeah. Ghosts still scare me." And And this is when things get interesting. So Mario starts to get a little uncomfortable down in his bathing suit area, and he starts to go like, "Huh? Huh?" And he reaches down and he's like, "Ow." And he like pulls out a little Pikmin. Was growing.
Pause.
On his bottom.
That's right. That's right. A little Pikmin's growing on his bottom.
And that's how we get the beginning of the Pikmin. And that's how we introduce the Pikmin into, well, what is now going to be called the Mario's universe.
Yes. Yes. So I'm glad you guys are excited. You seem excited about the Pikmin, because they're going to be showing up a lot.
Yeah,
they're going to be showing up a whole heck of a lot.
They're growing on everything. They're growing everywhere. It's sort of like a... They're like, this franchise is Gremlins.
Yes.
Yes. And we're going to copy a lot of the Gremlins rules too. Yep. Water,
don't
all of
feed
that.
Feed them after midnight. If they get in the water, then they explode.
Yeah. A lot of violence for the Pikmin.
Yeah.
Jeremy, I don't mean to call you out, but you actually forgot one thing from the setup before we got to the Pikmin.
I'm so sorry. I was just so excited about the Pikmin reveal. What am I missing here?
You forgot that everyone loved Mario's mom and dad from the last one.
Yeah.
And so we thought we could heighten that by having Mario's grandparents in this one. Mm-hmm. So they're also by the pool.
Yeah.
And they're also super hot and famous, like Mario. So they're like looking good. Think like Silver Daddy, think Cougar.
Yeah.
And they're there and they're like, Mario, you think you're rich, but you're not rich enough.
Yes, they're pressuring him to kind of get more rich and more famous when he's already so clearly at like a sultan's level of wealth, you know.
We didn't actually mention this, but Mario's wearing a big sultan's hat.
Yeah.
He's got a staff. He looks kind of like Jafar, but he's like a good Jafar.
And he's sort of acting like a good Jafar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
He's sort of being like a good Jafar.
Yeah. Let's see how good Jafar I can be.
It's a confusing vibe for like, what if Jafar was the hero and how would he act?
Exactly. And we know you don't have the rights to Jafar, so we're not going to say the name in the movie, but we're going to hint at it heavily.
And this is a question I do have for Illumination is, even though we don't have the rights to Jafar, is the staff, the Cobra staff, copyrighted?
Yes. And please tell us no, because a lot of our ideas, again, are hinging on the snake staff.
Yeah, Mario has to have a snake staff in order for the second and third acts to work at all.
Yes.
It's sort of like the, I mean, you might call it a MacGuffin, but what we call it is an absolutely thrilling plot device where...
Yes.
You know, he's sort of hypnotizing people with the snake staff.
He's
also, a lot of his comedy comes from banging the snake staff on the floor to emphasize his jokes and punchlines.
Yeah, it's, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, but like, you know, when he goes to the sand world, that his snake staff is going to come into play big time.
Yeah, yeah. And it'll also make more sense there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But y'all probably saw that coming.
Yeah, yeah. If you didn't think that we were going to the desert world, world two, you're absolutely wrong. In fact, all of the movie except for this scene takes place in the sand world.
Yes, exactly. You remember The Mummy? There's a lot of that sort of feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, so think about what The Mummy has, right? So it has those little creatures that get under your skin. And they kind of go nuts under your skin and they eat you from the inside. Well, guess what? We've already revealed the Pikmin, and that's what they're going to be doing.
They're going to be eating you from the inside?
Yeah. They're the ultimate sort of evil in this world now, is these Pikmin. And they kind of get inside of you, and they run around, and they eat you from the inside. And it's I'll say this, the concept art that we had drawn up for it is horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're probably wondering, I'm sorry to keep assuming what you're thinking, but you're probably wondering, how did these Pikmin get so evil?
Yeah.
And I think you can probably guess who's behind the evil of the Pikmin.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy.
Well, it's clearly a... It's so very... Clearly has to be Wario. It's Wario, and what he found when he was digging in the dirt is he found a crystal that sort of commands the Pikmin, that rules the Pikmin. And you might be thinking, this doesn't quite make sense, or we're not even sure what Pikmin are. And all I have to say about this is Wario is voiced by Shane Gillis. It is a big part of the movie.
Yeah, it's a deal breaker for us. Go ahead, Jeremy. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a deal breaker for us. Just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. just know that anything around this, negotiating any part of this, is a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be Shane Gillis, and in the script, which we're working on right now, anytime he has a line of dialogue, we've left that blank and we're letting Shane come in and just sort of respond to each thing.
Yes. The only time it's not blank is if it says, like, in brackets, like, topical race-based humor.
Yeah.
We sometimes put that in there just to, like, give him a little prompt to get going. But we just want him to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. A lot of brackets that say things like that, you know, insert being on the spectrum joke here, you know, things like that. A lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Shane, and what we know about Shane is that he'll hit it out of the park like he did recently in front of everybody on live TV.
Yes. And he'll talk about how he's been canceled while starring in a multi-$100 million production.
Yeah.
He's got to do it.
He'll also talk about how he's bombing when clearly people are laughing in the audience, which is more of a stand-up trope that's kind of doesn't make a lot of sense, that you accuse the audience of not liking your joke when they're like laughing and applauding for you.
Yes. Yeah.
He's going to do that. We're going to constantly be cutting to the Pikmin, and they're going to be laughing and loving it. And he's going to be like, oh, I guess you didn't like that one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like literally farting. They're laughing so much. Yeah. And the Pikmin are also just really disgusting. And I want to make sure that you guys get a picture of this. It's really disturbing how gross they are and how kind of gross they make your body when they go inside you and they rip your skin off and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see them crawling underneath your skin? That sort of feeling.
Yes, absolutely.
Kids love it. Kids will love it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and kids also do love their grandparents. And I will say that. Like, kids love their grandparents. And so they're going to love it when Mario's grandparents do come with them along for the ride.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not just holding down the fort, they're getting in there, they're strapping on their boots.
Yes.
They're jumping on the heads of Spiky Centipede.
I want to just tell you one of our favorite catchphrases for grandma is, who you think taught Mario to jump?
Yes. Yes.
Who you think taught Mario to jump?
Who you think taught Mario to jump?
Who you think taught Mario to jump?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's not clear where she's from, but
it's
very clear by the number of times she says it that she's the one who taught Mario to jump.
Yeah, that we know.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Jeremy, but then Grandpa says his catchphrase, and who you think taught Mario to dance, and then he starts cutting a rug, and he just starts dancing like mad. It's so fun.
We didn't get a good enough dance sequence in the first movie. I don't remember one at all.
No, me neither.
I mean, look, the dance in this is going to be pretty powerful. It's going to rival the Bowser song we got in the first movie.
Yeah, it's very post-Bollywood, what we're pitching here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're going to get, obviously, a dance in the beginning. That's how we open. Mm-hmm. You're going to get, obviously, a dance at the end. That's how we close. And then you're going, but you're also going to get a midway dance, but it's after Luigi does pass away. And so it is a sort of mid-movie sad dance.
It's like the Oscars in Memoriam ballet that happened in front of the screen. It's going to be exactly like that, but with like Luigi pictures in the background that you can't really see.
Yes, that's exactly right. Luigi is going to do, we're going to have a full in memoriam for Luigi a la the Oscars. And we're going to learn a lot about Luigi's life during the sequence. Like that he was in The Great Escape.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Yeah. That he was an editor on All About Eve.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. There was somebody, this is sort of a tangent. So sorry, this isn't quite a pitch. I just want to like front load this with that. But there was a part of the Oscars in memoriam where one person just said sales manager underneath.
Yeah.
And me and my wife were both like, sales manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that.
That's pretty good. So we're what, you are such a good sales manager. You ended up in the Oscars in memoriam.
Yeah. So yeah. Obviously we're going to put Luigi was also a sales manager
yes,
on something.
And he was too. And we will see a brief scene of that where he is sort of Wolf of Wall Street style. You know, he's got his bullpen of guys, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right. Now we haven't gotten to any of the controversial stuff. So I wanted to make just kind of brace everybody for that. We are going to kind of go in a little bit of a what might you say, like a little bit of a almost blasphemous sort
of
direction.
I think that's exactly right. Sacrilegious, heretical.
Yeah, heretical for sure. At one point after. You know, a long journey, a long trek. Mario will sort of stumble upon a small little green sort of foresty grove. And he's walking with his cane, his snake cane, and he's got his full Sultan gear on. And he sort of walks through this grove and he notices out in the distance, and this is sort of, you know, the what you might call the like the belly of the beast moment.
The belly of the beast, yeah.
His hero's journey. He finds a sword, like sort of stuck in a stone, and he will at this point in the film sort of shed his cane and pull out the sword. And at this point we reveal that Mario is Zelda.
Yep, and you heard right. Not Link. Mario is Zelda.
Mario actually is Zelda.
He's Zelda.
And he's been that way the whole time.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you look a little closer at Wario, and you see that, like, is he Ganon? It's not. Yeah. But you don't know that yet. But we just give a little quick hint, and we're like, mm-hmm. Is Wario Ganon? But then you do cut to Grandpa. And you notice that like Grandpa is like this elven creature this whole time that you're like, oh, right, that makes sense now.
Yes, yeah. It's sort of all coming together, and it's sort of uniting the Mario franchises in one. The Mario franchise of Pikmin. The Mario franchise of Zelda. They're all there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then we spend a little bit more time in that forest. Zelda, which is now what the character's name is.
Yes.
Is plodding around. She's like trying on her chic suit. She's like, who am I? She's not sure.
Yeah.
She's like, am I Mario? Am I Zelda? Am I chic? And it seems like there's no way that she is going to be able to pull it together.
Yeah. And it is through song that we do get through the end of this sequence where sort of, in the same sort of tone as like, am I a Muppet or a man from the Muppet movie? It's sort of like, am I a Mario? Am I a Zelda? Am I a Sheik?
Yes.
And we realize that, well, much like in life, you have to use the powers of all three.
Exactly.
To kind of get through this.
This is where we were coming from with the heretical thing.
Yeah.
Where Mario says, this is the Holy Trinity. Mm-hmm. Mario, Zelda, Sheik, and together they're powerful. Mm-hmm. Separately, they're still powerful, but like not quite as much.
Right.
And Mario, Zelda, Sheik, which is what all the characters are now going to refer to him as Mario, Zelda, Sheik.
Mario, Zelda, Sheik.
Mario, Zelda, Sheik.
Yeah.
Becomes like a new god.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of like and it's horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's sort of a Lovecraftian thing where it's sort of staring into the abyss, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
A lot of eyes, a lot of tentacles.
Yeah. A lot of little like fingery things that are moving in a way that's like too human for comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like hair in places on it and for what? It's sort of unclear.
We cut to the Mushroom Kingdom and all the toads are ripping their eyes out because they don't want to see what's happening.
It's not good for anybody. And
it's not good.
And this is when we kind of have another switcheroo where the god that we're seeing that was previously Mario Zelda Sheik is actually sort of the big bad. And
yes.
Who's there to stop it? Well, it ain't Luigi.
Mm-mm, because he's dead.
He's dead. Grandpa, no, too old.
Too old.
It's Wario. Wario's got to come in there, Shane Gillis style.
Shane Gillis style.
And sort of do comedy to death. Do comedy at him to death.
Exactly. I mean, how do you stop religion? Edgy mm-hmm. stand-up comedy.
Yes, yeah.
Edgy stand-up comedy that like appeals to like ninth graders as your target audience.
Yeah, ninth graders, though, from a previous generation. Like ninth yeah. graders from like a long time ago would yeah. love it.
Definitely.
Ninth graders of today hate it.
Oh yeah, they don't want that at all.
They think that sucks. But yeah, ninth graders from the 90s are thinking this is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, which is why also a deal breaker for us is that this movie has to come out in 1999.
And that is sort of our final pitch here is that we do release this 25 years ago.
Yes, and we're not saying we changed the release of the original Mario movie. Obviously, that was such a smash hit.
Right.
So
right.
We're saying that we want this one to come out in 1999, and people will get it.
And we're saying the newer one is a prequel.
Yes, exactly.
And that this one that we're releasing in 1999 is, in fact, the sequel.
Yes.
Yeah. And if we can't do all of that stuff, we're going to be so fucking pissed.
Yeah, we'll be so mad.
I know you don't usually end a pitch meeting by telling the people that if this doesn't happen, you're yeah. going to be fucking pissed.
Yes, but we'll be so fucking mad.
Yeah, we'll be so fucking mad, and you'll never fucking hear from us again. You'll Mm-mm. never hear from us again.
I'm almost getting mad right now just thinking about how fucking mad I would be.
Yeah. We're going to cut you guys off. We're going to cut Illumination off.
Yeah. You guys are going to be without us forever. You'll never hear from us again.
You'll never see us or hear from us again or hear any of our other pitches that we have because this isn't the only movie. We have a whole MCU, Mario Cinematic Universe. Hello, it was already there.
Yep.
It was already in the zeitgeist. We have a whole thing planned out where we're going to do the Star Fox movie.
Yep.
You know, we're going to do the Nicolas Cage stars in the Star Tropics movie. We're going to do
The F-Zero movie.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
F-Zero to Hero.
All right. I would like to leave you with one final pitch from me.
Yes.
Not to speak for Jeremy. One other deal breaker for us is that after Mario becomes Supreme God Leader and Wario has to be the one to take him down, whether he does, I don't want to spoil for you.
Mm-hmm.
But one nice little moment at the end is that Grandpa and Grandma renew their vows.
And we want to make this clear, like, this film is, like, extremely pro-marriage.
Not civil unions. Definitely not a domestic partnership. Traditional marriage.
Yeah. The only Polly I want to hear about is Polly Pocket, who's attending the vow ceremony.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, anyways, you have our emails. Just whenever you guys make a call, and please make it the right one.
Please.
Please make it the right call.
We'll be so mad if you don't.
We'll be... I will be doing the Goku... Gah! You know, just like charging up at my house. And flipping off my computer screen if you guys don't say yes to sort of the pitch in here. And I know that you guys were probably thinking, oh, we wanted simpler. We wanted something a little bit more for kids or,
yeah.
or and less I know confusing.
Yes, less confusing. You said, is there a way we can work the minions into this? Mm-hmm. And we said, no, there's no space, but we have a lot of evil Pikmin.
Yes,
that we
yeah.
can work it instead.
And I did want to make sure that you guys knew you can call them minions.
Yes.
But they're not the minions. You can call them minions, but they're Pikmin who are
and they're
fleshy.
Scary.
Yeah, they're yeah, scary.
They're, they're scary. They're like probably not going to sell toys.
No, you couldn't make toys out of them. Too ferocious.
Too ferocious.
And they don't say stuff like banana.
No.
And
if you do make the toys, one other deal breaker for us is that they have to have real teeth, like human teeth. And they should be sharp.
And there's like... And just before you start to argue with us, there's so much teeth around to use for this. Like,
yeah, and honestly,
so many people lose teeth all the time that you shouldn't have a problem stocking store shelves with the teeth a mouthful of teeth Pikmin.
And in fact, if you need more teeth, like we also happen to have them.
Yes, we do have a hookup. Yeah.
Yeah, we have tons of teeth.
Yeah, we have a lot of teeth. We have a hookup. We know a guy. We have our teeth guy.
And our deals are very reasonable.
Yeah.
They are extremely reasonable.
We can get you a great rate. We can get you into a whole bag of teeth. Mm-hmm. You just say the word and say when. So anyways, yeah, we'll be we're off to lunch now. Mendocino.
Yep. So we're going to go get some not so fried chicken sandwiches.
Yes.
So don't text us in the next hour if you do make a call, because we're going to be eating lunch.
Yeah. If you do want to hear about my other pitch, our other pitches that we have kind of locked away for like non-Mario related stuff, we have those too.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
I'll spoil one of those pitches.
Okay.
Samus is a man.
Mm-hmm. Manus.
Name is Manus.
And what's fun about that is that Sam wasn't saying she's a woman.
Nope.
But we did change that part of it to be man.
Now it's super clear though. Like
so clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's man dash us.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're always Zero Suit Manus.
Always.
Always Zero Suit Manus, so you'll never not know it's a man.
Yeah.
You can't even pretend.
Yeah, and he says, I love being a man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's comedian, if we gotta spoil it, if it helps sell the idea, it's also Shane Gillis.
It's Shane Gillis.
Yeah. And he gets to play sort of multiple, sort of like the Eddie Murphy of this universe, I think, where he's kind of coming in and doing a lot of different folks.
And you know Manus is going to show up in the third Mario movie, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we won't get ahead of ourselves. So, we're selling the farm here. It's mm-hmm. all up for grabs, whatever you guys want to take. Anyways, thank you, folks.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the water. Thank you so much, guys.
I'm sorry I spilled it. I'm sorry I spilled it all over my chair. I didn't mean to. Hopefully this wasn't expensive. Wow. And that was it. I can't believe how good the audio came through in that. That was great, because I was just my cell phone on the table, and I was, acting out.
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy too, is that they never chimed in once during it. Mm. They were just enthralled, and it's hard to explain just with sound, but they were kept being like, whoa.
Yeah.
They were so blown away, but we told them to be quiet so it wouldn't mess up the recording.
If you listen super closely, you can hear like they're writing down all the ideas.
And writing checks.
And they were writing checks too, and they were it was taking so long because of how big the check
numbers
was. Yeah.
And also how big. They were like Publishers Clearing House checks. So it was taking so long to write them.
They weren't usable legal checks, but they were like symbolic of a lot of money coming our way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was fun, bud. I would love to do more of that with you. I mean, Hollywood, I feel like, has been kind of getting away Jacques and Jeremy free for too long.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree completely. Yeah. They need us.
They do. They do. And they definitely need our sort of youthful yet delightfully old energy.
Yeah.
That's what Hollywood needs, you know?
Some people call it irrelevant. We say timeless.
We say delightfully irrelevant, you know?
Delightfully irrelevant.
Yeah.
Cheekily irrelevant.
Uh-huh. Well, so tell me this, and for the listener at home, you know, where can people find you? What do you want people to know?
They can find pitches like that on my Instagram and TikTok, which is at Jacques Ness Monster.
Oh, perfect. I didn't realize you had a TikTok. I'm hardly ever on there.
Okay, spoiler. You remember the big dance pitches we had for this?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those come from my dance videos I'm posting.
Okay. You're going to want to literally log on to TikTok right now and check those out. So follow Jacques. You can follow me on Twitter at Ocarina of Crime. You can follow the show on Twitter at VGA Comedy Show. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/supernpcradio. We're about to start our new BioShock Games Club, where weekly we'll be taking down the Xbox 360 PS3 classic BioShock. Would you sweetly come and listen to the show? It's gonna be a fun time over there. I would definitely check that out. Also, speaking of TikTok, Video Games and Comedy Show has its own TikTok now. We've been posting. It's been the reviews are in. Some people like it a lot, so I would check it out for sure. There's a lot of fun audio snippets from the shows that you'll find. And
see what we look like.
Yeah,
come find out. See what we look like.
Yeah, and if it's and if you find that we're too hot and that's too intimidating for you, I would do a little self exploration there and figure out why you think that.
What's going on there?
What's going on? But anyways, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.